All right, today is Apple Juice, I guess, 12. We are interviewing today Michael Johnston. How are we doing, Michael?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
If you guys don't know who Michael is, well, you guys should, because Michael is from iPhoneAlley.com. Isn't that right?
Yes.
iPhoneAlley.com. Why don't you tell us a bit about iPhone Alley?
Sure. iPhoneAlley.com is, well, the name is iPhone Alley. Some people actually think that it's, you know, compressed into one word with the .com. It's iPhone Alley. And we do news primarily about the iPhone. It's news, tips, reviews. We have a podcast. We also have a forum. The podcast is called the iPhone Alley Podcast. So we didn't get too creative with that. We may come up with a name soon for it. Maybe something like This Week in iPhone or something like that. But right now we're just the iPhone Alley Podcast. So that's what we do at iPhone Alley.
Yeah, it's actually a great, great site. You guys should check it out. I actually use that site when I'm going through my show notes. I go and I pick out mostly the iPhone news from iPhone Alley, pretty much.
So excellent.
That's where I get all my news from the iPhone.
Hello. Hello. Yes, iPhoneAlley.com.
All right. So recently, WWDC came out. I mean, not came out, but went on July or June.
It was actually this entire
yeah,
week.
Entire week. June 9th was the keynote of Steve Jobs, and the beginning keynote, he's like, there's three main things, but the main thing we're going to talk about today is the iPhone. So he went on and he talked about the iPhone and version 2.0. He was talking about that, most of it, all the applications we're reviewing. And then the main thing about it was the App Store, the SDK, and the Microsoft Exchange. Do you have any thing to put in there, Michael?
Well, I think that the App Store is one of the most the App Store and the SDK are one of the most significant items in iPhone news right now, because it truly redefines what the iPhone is and what can be done with it. Right now, as it stands, the iPhone is a device that's it's a really closed platform. So it's not even a platform. You can't really call it a platform because it's just a closed device.
Also, I personally think this is going to do almost what it, you know, what iTunes did for, you know, music, possibly. Not to the same extent, but it's just so revolutionary.
So you think it's going to change the way that people use a mobile phone and the resources of having a device in your hand? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, nowhere before, unless you were going to a link, like a WAP link from a text message, would you be able to go out and just download any application from your phone. There was nowhere there was ever, I mean, there was always, you know, that little center that, you know, AT&T or Rogers or whoever you're on kept. It's, you know, that little menu item, and it's, you know, this ugly HTML page with all of these applications. But it wasn't really all that open. You had to be kind of certified, and instead with this, and pretty much all the applications you'd get before were, if you weren't downloading them directly to your phone on your part, they were all basically, you know, $5.99 or $9.95. None of them were free.
Right. And they're not the best of applications either. But as far as the iPhone goes, I think that because the iPhone is so simple to use, and you can really wrap your head around it in about 3 minutes once you realize that, you know, okay, this screen is where you find all the apps. Then when you go to an app, you do whatever, and then you go back to the home screen, and then now you know how to use the phone. There are a couple other extra things, but, you know, at that point you understand it. So it's a really easy experience. And now that Apple is opening that up to third-party developers to do whatever they want with the power of OS X and an extremely sophisticated mobile device that's really easy to use and very expandable, I think that the iPhone is truly becoming a platform. And almost to the extent that I feel if Apple hadn't, you know, Apple almost didn't have to release a new version of the iPhone, because truly, when you come out with the App Store and all these third-party applications, it's iPhone 2.0 in my mind.
Yeah, also, the thing is, when you get, instead of it being, as I was saying, you know, certified developers, when you get these people putting out their apps for free, you find a lot more experimentation. I don't think traditionally we would ever had an application like Band or something like that, where it is so, you know, very odd, and it's not the traditional kind of, you know, it's not a Rayman game or any of these, you know, simple games which are kind of, you know, made for phones. The developers, and because it's such a beautiful platform to develop for, because it's so expandable and you have all of the great multi-touch gestures, you can really, well, we're really going to see developers playing around with the phone's applications.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the great advantages that you get with a phone that isn't really attached to its hardware. Really, there's only one button for it, and then, you know, the software creates whatever type of controls that are needed. So if you need, you know, a drum set, or if you need a keyboard or what have you, you can just bring that up, and your application is now, you know, performing those functions.
Also, I think the thing to keep in mind is when you're designing a product, and Apple is excellent at this, when you're designing a product, the thing to keep in mind is, you know, especially for a mobile phone, really, you want to get the features that people really love, but you want to have these features as simple as possible. So, you know, when you're designing a product, you have to think, what features do they need? And I think Apple has gone out and done that. So, but in, you know, their designing of the iPhone, they've tried to make it so incredibly simple. It's just fantastic because, you know, it's great and simple. The only thing I can fear is that we're going to see I think 50% of the apps are going to be absolutely, you know, they're going to be great. And then 50% of the apps are going to be wildly experimental and probably not all that great. And that's the only problem you get with basically having an open development. So anyone, you know, anyone can develop the apps, but anyone can now distribute them. That's the only thing I could fear.
The developer program for Apple does require a $99 a year payment to actually be in the program. So you can't actually submit applications to the App Store, be it free or for pay, unless you pay that $99 charge. And so I think that'll keep a lot of the random experimentation stuff out of the App Store.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that also existed, you know, if you look at how installer.app actually worked on jailbreak phones. There are a lot of experimental applications on there right now. A lot of really useful applications also that will end up in the App Store, such as Band. Band was originally. So I think that provided something of a demonstration for everybody to look at. And so you get a really broad array of different applications. So you have some really exceptional applications that developers have poured their hearts out into for the jailbreak apps. And then there are some really, really subpar applications. So I think that even sort of showed developers, the two different sides of the spectrum for really good apps and what you shouldn't do on the iPhone. That, coupled with Apple's design interface guidelines, I think they're and coupled with the $99 a year, I don't think we're going to see a lot of poorly made applications.
Yeah. That is excellent. Which is another main thing in the thing is Microsoft Exchange. That's what most companies are waiting for. I'm actually waiting for the Microsoft Exchange because I actually have an Exchange server with my company.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
yeah, I haven't had a chance to play around too much with the Microsoft Exchange stuff, but the big advantage with Exchange is obviously the ability to have all of your contacts, calendars, and emails managed by the central server, with the advantage of of everything happening immediately with the push technology.
Now that's what brings us into mobile me. Mobile me is Exchange for everyone else.
Yes, Exchange for the rest of us is basically how I believe it was Phil Schiller introduced this to everyone.
Yep.
And it's push email. It's basically the new replacement for .Mac, right? So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get it because I don't have any real need for this stuff. However, I do have to say it is it's both a desktop, not really a desktop interface, but it is has a beautiful Web 2.0 interface, which really emulates. It looks like you're running a Mac.
Yeah, it's
in
fantastic.
A browser.
I know the guy who designed a majority of it, Bobby Anderson, and he'd been working on it for quite some time. And it's a beautiful interface. We haven't actually had a chance to fully go through it and use every bit of it, but we've seen a lot of stuff in the demos. And the big thing is, okay, so it's .Mac 2.0, if you will. So it's got this great interface. .Mac, I believe, had pretty much the mail.app client, in the web interface, but it didn't have all these extra things. It was still kind of spread out into separate sections of .Mac. So now you have the photos, the contacts, the calendars, and your email all within there. And it's all sort of, it feels like it's just one application and you're kind of switching through tabs to get to these different applications. So that's one aspect of it. And you also have all the aspects of .Mac, which you have your iDisk still, and you have, I think it's 20 gigabytes of storage for $99 a year.
Yes, yeah. which is pretty good, but I mean, most of your money is not really going to that storage, I'd say. Most of the money is for services. It's all about the
Absolutely.
Address book, calendar, because that stuff is so fantastic and valuable. If I, let's say lost my address book on, let's say I was, a businessman, but I ran my own business and I did not use an Exchange server. And so I decided, I'll go with MobileMe just because $99 a year and I get all of these great things. It's 20 gigs of storage. So you can put all of your documents on that pretty much.
Yeah.
And then 200 gigs.
You can use it as backup. You can use it for sharing photos and whatnot, or you can just use it as a, here's where I throw up all my interesting stuff onto the web. But I think the most significant part of MobileMe, aside from its new interface, is that now it doesn't work with, it works with more than just the Mac. .Mac had always centered around the Macintosh, and that's how it was introduced when they introduced it. It was just for the Mac, and they said, we control the operating system. We know what the Mac, what the computers are, so we can just have this sort of extension from it. Now, with MobileMe, that actually works on the Mac, of course, but also iPhones, iPod Touch, and now on the PC as well.
Yes, but so, keep in mind that the PC, all you get. Of course, you get everything because of the online applications, right?
Right, and you also have access to your iDisk
yes.
on there, too.
Yes, and but Outlook is it actually syncs with Outlook, which I think was really good on Apple's part because...
Yeah, definitely. And the advantage, aside from that, if you're a current .Mac user... like I am, I extensively use sync, and that's really the only reason I use .Mac is for the syncing. And now with MobileMe, like you said, it's just like Exchange, but for everybody else. So you get the immediate, exchange of data between all of your devices, your Mac, your PC, your iPhone, your iPod Touch, all of those different things, immediately get those changes as soon as they're made on any one of those devices. So now you don't have to go through, syncing your computers at an interval or, automatically, which really isn't so automatic. It's not immediate. It's just sort of on an automatic interval. And I think that's fantastic, especially for the iPhone, because I have two Macs and an iPhone. The one Mac is really, it's a desktop Mac, and it serves as my, this is what has all my music and where I sync my iPhone to. And so therefore, my my MacBook Pro, which I use constantly throughout the day. I never ever touch the desktop Mac except for playing music. So my MacBook Pro is where all the address book and contacts and and my calendar all come from. So that needs to actually sync over .Mac to my tower, and then when I get a chance to sync my iPhone, that's when I get that information. So now I actually don't even have to worry about syncing it unless I need my music, which is fantastic.
Now, this doesn't sync over Wi-Fi, though.
It does. Ryan? I believe it syncs it over Wi-Fi and Edge.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you add, let's say I was on the run and I was like, okay, you know, this is my new business contact. And just added him to email, address book. I added a meeting with him to my calendar and a headshot of him to, the gallery. And so now, I suppose, you have all of this information, which you just added to your iPhone because you have 3G and Edge and Wi-Fi. You can basically have that all. So it's like, you know, my iPhone crashed and basically I lost all my data. You just go back. Now, does it restore, though, over Edge or Wi-Fi or 3G?
No, I think that the MobileMe push services are primarily for synchronization. I don't think that, you know, you still should sync your iPhone to your Mac, so it, or Mac or PC, I should say, to get those backups. And yeah, I don't think it would even back up your camera roll over MobileMe. So you should still sync your iPhone. I don't think it'll provide any sort of backup for you. I mean, it does to a certain extent where it has your contacts, your calendar, and obviously your email. But, you know, aside from that, everything, gets wiped out if you wipe out your information.
Yeah, so you lose all your apps and your... Yeah, that'd be terrible.
Unless through iTunes, because maybe iTunes would back it up.
Yeah, iTunes would back all of that stuff up. I'm fairly certain that iTunes would also back up your applications, as it does right now with all of your information as well as the camera roll.
Michael, do you think that we'll eventually see wireless syncing with the iPhone?
So syncing to your computer over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth?
Yeah, over Bluetooth, Wi-Fi.
I don't. Not anytime soon.
The problem is, personally, in my experiences, Bluetooth is seemingly, at least for my phone, not all that fast. It's not. It would take quite a while to sync everything. Adding new songs and...
Yeah, Bluetooth isn't the best way. I think that Wi-Fi would be a better solution as far as that goes. But, you know, either way, you still have the trouble of having to, you know, get your Mac talking to your iPhone over Wi-Fi or talking to it over Bluetooth. Or, you know, if we're talking about Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or just having a network in general, it just seems like too many extra steps and too many things to think about, for one. And... You know, also the other fact of it simply just being a lot slower than hooking up a USB cable. I don't think that Apple would go with that. It's just too much stuff to think about. And,
it's partially also
so much easier.
Just like, you know, let's say the time capsule. It's kind of like that because you can definitely sync to that, but it's not going to be nearly as fast as just a FireWire or...
Yeah, absolutely.
USB, because FireWire and USB, they're like 800 megabits or 400 megabits, and even at N, it's not a cable, so there's no assurance that it is at that actual speed.
Yeah, and people would expect extreme speeds. They would expect it to go as fast as USB, and it's just not something that Apple would want to get caught up into. It's not that big of a deal in their eyes. And I don't think it's that big of a deal either now with the MobileMe stuff. I mean, I don't expect to be able to sync my music over the air. I think it's phenomenal right now that I can, you know, visit the iTunes store on my iPhone right now, which is really handy, at least for me. I don't actually buy a whole lot of music off of the iTunes store on my phone, but I certainly, you know, if I hear a song or I want to get a preview of a song, I use the iTunes store extensively for browsing and discovering new music that way. So, you know, that's great. Otherwise, you know, stuff syncing over Wi-Fi or, you know, moving backups and restoring all that, it's just too slow. And I don't think that Apple sees a lot of consumers needing something like that. And having that feature in there really complicates the device. And so, I don't think.
And furthermore, how often do you, like, George, and how do you, how often do you guys sync your phones to a computer?
Well, I sync my my phone to a computer maybe every other day right now because I'm really lazy. I should honestly be syncing it constantly because of the information that gets updated as far as my address book, either on my phone or on my computer. But as far as moving music around, which would be my only reason for wanting to hook it up, I maybe once or twice, maximum three times a week.
So it's not like you sync enough for it to make a huge difference.
Yeah, I sync maybe once. I used to sync once a week, but now I'm not going to be syncing because of my package that I got in the mail. So
let me announce that.
I got a N95 in the mail this morning. So I will be using that for the rest of the time being until I get the 3G iPhone.
So did you had an iPhone,
no,
right?
I have an iPhone. It's sitting actually right next to me. It's like turned off.
Why would you use an N95?
Because N95 is quick, and I'm actually.
I know, but right now, why would you use it?
Right now,
it's
3G.
It's not an iPhone.
I know, but see, you know, the iPhone. I'm not gonna say it, but. You know, but the right now the N95, I really really like it. But the only problem I miss is the keyboard, because this just has a plain numeric keyboard. But I will be getting the new iPhone, so I'm using this for the time being to test it out, and it's really nice. It has more features than the iPhone, but I do like the iPhone.
Will you be selling your iPhone, the one that you have right now?
Well. Someone in my family, they're gonna buy me the new iPhone. Like, they're gonna give me the money. Mm-hmm. Actually, I do have the money right now, but they're gonna help me out buy the new iPhone, and they're getting the iPhone tomorrow. I'm giving it to them tomorrow. We just have to go pick up the SIM card, because the SIM card they have is not made for the iPhone, because you guys know how the iPhone has a specific SIM card, and you can use that in any other phones, but you just can't put your SIM card into the iPhone.
Now, there's one problem, though, I see in trying to sell an iPhone right now. You're going to have to sell it for really, really, really cheap.
I know. Like,
well, you know what?
Like $99.
I was just going to say that today, someone in our forums pointed this out to me, and it was I had actually noticed it, too. I posted a story that basically the first generation iPhones are still selling really strong on eBay. And I think that is due to quite a few things, namely the fact that, you know, when the iPhone 3G does come out, it's not unlockable out of the gate. We don't know how to unlock it. We don't know how many obstacles Apple has for us to work around. And let's just say it's, you know, they'll figure out how to unlock the iPhone 3G in a week. Okay, that's great. But, you know, the only people who have iPhone 3Gs are those who have signed up for a contract. And they're not going to unlock their phone because they already have a contract. So, you know, there aren't going to be as many iPhones out in the wild as far as the 3G goes.
Yeah.
That, and there's
actually
a higher data cost.
I'm just looking. Sorry, continue.
There's a higher data cost on the iPhone 3G. It's $10 more a month for, you know, the 3G data. You don't get any.
Yeah, it's another basically $120 a year.
Yeah, it's more expensive to own it over 2 years. The iPhone 3G. Than paying full price for a standard iPhone and getting the Edge iPhone price. Yeah. So, and you know, on the unlocked iPhones on eBay right now are still selling pretty well. I think I saw an 8 GB iPhone for maybe $300-$350 on average.
Oh, that they're even more expensive than that. I'm looking right now, brand new iPhone, 8 GB, 1.1.4, unlocked any SIM Plus Extra, 5 bids, $432.
Is that in Canada though?
No, that's US, and the exchange rate would be exactly the same. So
yeah, so they're still selling strong, and that's why I ask. It may benefit you to sell it. I personally
if my family member wants it, like I don't know if they want it, they can have it, but if they don't want it, then I'm gonna go ahead and sell it. Like, I know someone in the one of my friends in the podcast world, they want it, and he's gonna buy it for $150, and I'm like, $150 is dirt cheap. I'm not gonna sell it for dirt cheap. If I can get it for $300, then I'm gonna go for $300.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this is more than it actually costs the guy to buy it, right?
Yeah.
8 gigs are now, you know, around $400.
$400.
And that's $432. They're making profit from selling them.
Yeah.
From selling a used iPhone.
But I'm definitely gonna think about selling it, but I don't know. I don't know what my family member wants to do if they want it, but pretty much they're gonna get it. Like, my whole family is gonna have an iPhone. My dad's going to plan on getting a 3G iPhone. Which comes to the 3G iPhone at WWDC at the end of the keynote. Steve Jobs is, I know you guys have been waiting for this, and on the thing he goes, 3G iPhone. Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah, and I think that the device itself is fantastic. It's 8 gigabytes and 16 gigabytes, like the current model that is no longer selling. It's a little bit thinner on the edges. It's actually slightly thicker at its very thickest point. It's the entire back is plastic. It comes in white or black. It has GPS, 3G, and it's, you know, it's really good as a device, and it's what we expected out of the next generation 3G iPhone. So I really like that, and the price is $200 for the 8 gigabyte, $300 for the 16 gigabyte.
It's half the price too.
It's half the price,
exactly as you said.
Now, here are the things that I don't like about it. Now in the U.S. at least. The reason it's so cheap, and this is just rumor, but it makes a lot of sense with everything else that we've been hearing, is that AT&T is actually subsidizing half the cost of the iPhone, or at least part of it. And that is what makes people sign up in the store. You have to sign the contract at the store. There's no more buy it at the Apple store or AT&T store, or even order it online, take it home and activate it, you know, In the comfort of your own home through iTunes. You have to do it at the store, sign up there. There's no way to leave the store with an iPhone unless you sign on the dotted line.
You know, what was funny, Michael, is that I went to I called AT&T the other day because I had to change the data plan to 3G plan for my N95 today. And I talked to the guy, and I was talking about the iPhone, and he's like, well, when you get the iPhone or whatever, you activate it in iTunes. I was like, the 3G iPhone. I was like, you don't activate it through iTunes. The guy didn't know anything about the new iPhone.
Well, it's purely speculation right now. There hasn't been an official press release coming out of AT&T or Apple yet. But from what we've heard from our contact at AT&T, it's going to be in store.
Yeah.
So, the guys at the retail stores, I'm sure, haven't gotten any official notice except for there's an iPhone 3G coming.
Yeah. What we were talking about in yesterday's podcast was the 11th podcast, episode 11, with me and Billy Heim, we were talking about that we are probably going to end up going and buying an iPhone online to see if we, like, do you think we'll be able to buy it online?
No, you won't. If you go to the Apple Store, or you go to apple.com/iPhone, rather, and you click where to buy, you only have two options. It's go to the Apple Store or go to the AT&T Store.
Yeah.
And it used to obviously be AT&T Store, Apple Online Store.
We know the release date, but maybe it's just not available right now to buy. Like, you couldn't pre-order it on Apple, but maybe in the time being they'll change it. Do you think that?
You know, I don't think that. I did ponder that question as well, but I don't think that'll be the case either, because on that page, and I actually looked back into archive.org, I believe, is the website, just to verify what it said before, and it did actually say, you know, when the iPhone is available, you will be able to order it from the Apple Store for this much. Hmm. So,
in yesterday's show, me and Billy Heim talked about what we were, or actually Billy talked about what he was going to do What exactly is your plan on getting the new iPhone?
Well, I'm probably just going to go back to the same AT&T store that I camped outside last June and get the new one. I'm not really that happy about it because I'm very pleased with my current plan. I have 450 minutes, 200 text messages, and unlimited data, and that's all that I use. Now, and I do actually use my text messages. If I got a little, you know, decrease in minutes and I actually still had my text messages, that would be fine because I don't talk that much, but I will actually have to pay more for the 3G data and even more to get those text messages that were included at a convenience. And
they're not going to be included this year?
You will not have any text messages. That's the unofficial word.
Wow. Wow. And I was actually
looking. You're going to pay $5 more to get 200 text messages.
That's actually right now what if you would have a regular phone like my Nokia, right now I'm paying. I have a family plan for the minutes, but right now I'm paying $35 for the data and the messaging itself because I've only got 200, but I used to have 1500 with the iPhone.
Yeah, it's that's one of my biggest concerns with this new iPhone. I would much rather pay, you know, $400 for it, be able to take it home, still get the $20 data plan, which was awesome. Or maybe even, you know what, even $30 data plan because it's 3G. But if I got my, you know, SMS messages, that would be fine. I just don't think it's, I just feel it's a step backwards.
Now, here's the thing personally. I'm in Canada. And when I get mine, I'm going to be on Rogers. And, of course, in Canada, basically, we don't have an unlimited data plan at all.
Right.
We have unlimited web, but no unlimited data. So for my phone right now, like, which is not an iPhone, by the way, it's a Sony Ericsson, I have unlimited web, but any custom applications that are unsupported by Rogers are charged 5 cents per kilobyte.
Interesting.
So you could work up a crazy fee. I remember once I had an $105 fee at PodCamp, actually. Now, I don't know what Rogers is going to do for this, but I'm praying to, well, everything possible, basically, that they're going to charge a reasonable rate, maybe a $10 or $20 more than what AT&T, maximum 20 more.
Well, from tips that we've gotten, and they're just random tips that we've heard, it's either they have a $20 monthly, I think they call it the Communicate package, that has SMS messages and unlimited data.
Well, here's the thing, though. Rogers, for talk and text and everything, if you buy at the right time, you can get absolutely insanely good deals. I'm not sure about unlimited data, though. It might have changed recently because they recently got the N95 and so lots of 3G phones. So I'll look. By the way, if you go to the Rogers site, they have like this kind of something really big is coming July 11th.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that it's confirmed at this point that it's the iPhone.
It is confirmed. If you go to their site, it'll say, you know, June 9th. Rogers and Apple to bring iPhone 3G to Canada on July 11th. But
yep.
I'll just go in and look so you guys can talk about more while I look for this plan.
Yeah, so Michael, are you going to plan on going and camping out?
You know, I think I will. Last year I did for the iPhone, and you know, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed myself. I went all out, and I actually went to Walmart and bought a $15 tractor battery and got an AC inverter and I brought a tent and an inflatable bed. And I actually just like, you know, enjoyed myself. I had, you know, the Wi-Fi from the AT&T store and I had electricity for my computer and I had a, you know, comfortable place to sleep. So I think I may do the same thing again. It was a lot of fun camping out with all these different people. I mean, there were some other people in there that, obviously, there were maybe 10 or so other people waiting, and one of the guys even had a DeLorean that just kind of pulled up, and it was a modified DeLorean that had a Mac Mini in it with a projector screen on the front of the car. So you know, it's really fun to meet up with those people who are obviously as fanatic as you are about the iPhone, and it's a good time. So I think I'll be doing it again, especially with the long wait that I'm anticipating for the iPhone 3G, because you have to activate it in store.
Yeah, that's gonna work.
The one thing that I did last year was I did a live unboxing on Ustream, because I love the guys on Ustream and I use their service all the time. I actually streamed the keynote using Ustream, so I did a live unboxing last year that a lot of people enjoyed watching. And you know, Mackenstein posted an article about this sort of in jest that the you know, people who do unboxing pictures and unboxing videos and all of that, they're going to be out of business now, because you have to activate the iPhone in the store. So I think that's another really unfortunate thing. What I'm hoping is that you get to sign up for the iPhone plan in the store. You choose your minutes and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then they put the IMEI number into their computer that's just read off of the back of the box. And then you take it home and unbox yourself and plug it in into iTunes, and then iTunes will activate it that way. Because, you know, if you think about it, whenever you restore your iPhone, you always have to plug it back into iTunes to verify that you have an iPhone account. So I think the same thing could apply to after you sign up. You don't even have to pull it out of the box there. You just simply sign up for the plan there, bring it home, put it in iTunes, and it says, yep, you're good to go. And then you go on your merry way. I'm hoping that's how it's going to be.
Well, me and Billy were talking about, Billy said that if he can buy it online, he's going to buy two iPhones. He's going to buy two 16 gigabyte iPhones. He's going to buy one. Like, if you can order it online, like, not the same day, but the day before, a week before, he's going to order it online. And then he's gonna go and camp out at the store, and so that's what I said. Like, my dad, if my dad's gonna still get one, then he is going to get it online, and I'll go to camp out at the store. Like, I'll go probably at 10 o'clock at night, show up, or go and ask the people at AT&T, what time do you guys think the people are gonna start lining up? And do you think it's gonna be at 6 p.m. like last year?
That's what we've heard. We've gotten a couple tips from people who work for Apple stores saying that is when when they're going to be doing it. And, you know, it kind of makes sense, because it follows almost the same sort of pattern as far as it being a Friday. That's really the only thing, a Friday and then the launch at the stores. But, you know, we're assuming that it's going to be 6 o'clock like it was last time. All the general customers can get through the AT&T store during the day, and then, you know, all of the iPhone customers can get through, and then they would have extended hours at that point too.
One last question before you have to go, Michael. How did it go last year? Like, I know that it launched like 6 p.m., but like they're different time zones, so 6 p.m. over here, 6 p.m. over there.
It was 6 p.m. relative to each time zone. And as far as the lines, and this is another thing that it really upsets me about having to sign up for the plan in store, is last year the lines just went through fluidly. You know, if you didn't camp out or wait in a line for even a minute, for the most part, at any AT&T store or Apple store, you could waltz in there, you know, at 6:30, grab an iPhone, be right out in 7 minutes.
It's
going to be a difficult process this year, definitely.
All right, Michael. Well, it was a pleasure having you on the show. Hopefully, we can do it again sometime soon. Like, I'll be on the show again.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, maybe after like the 3G iPhone or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Michael. Hold on, because I am the host. All right. Bye, Michael.
Yep. Bye.
All right, Connor, what were you going to say about the data plan?
Well, I was looking around, and I can't find anything. See, data plan, you know, I'm looking data only plan. So, you know, add a cart and it's select essentials. So what you're going to look for is the essentials. And I'm looking, and I noticed this podcasting for $5 a month. You get podcasting, our making of audio files, most commonly in MP3 format, available online in a way that allows software to download them. Download the files for listening at the user's convenience. So I'm not sure what the heck that is. But I'm looking through, and I'm not exactly finding anything. Which is quite odd.
All right, well, we should start wrapping this up. That was Michael Johnston from iPhoneAlley.com. You can go check him out there at iPhoneAlley.com. You're Connor Bevins from ConnorBevins.com, ConnorBevans.com.
And I'm supposed to say it, George.
Well, yeah. Well, and I'm George Griggs from the Apple Juice Show, applejuiceshow.com.